Oh, Canada, our home and native land. We are big, we are strong, we are better than those people down in the States.
Where I am?
Yeah, where you are, where Russ Cortland is. We're going to kick our home and native land. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. It's Canada Day, folks. Hi, it's Jungle Jim Jerome here.
Did you come out of retirement today?
I'm out of retirement, man. I'm going to sing the anthem.
No, drinking.
No. You should, pal. You should hear me sing that song when I'm drinking.
Oh boy,
Canada Day episode of the Suspendables. We're alive and well, and Russ is down in, of course, as in Gauzer Ranch, which we get to hear about every week about him living the life of a millionaire. Rusty, where is that? Where you are still? You're down there.
Yeah, I'm in Gauzer. Had a coffee this morning with Gretz, and then I'm gonna see a bunch of Canadians Gauzer at Brendan Morrow's house and Guy Carboneau's house. I'm cooking for 50 or 60
nice
Canadians that live here in the summer, baby.
That is the voice. That is the voice of Russ Cortinel, longtime NHLer, retired.
Fuck, like you have to introduce me.
Every I love that, baby. Right. You brought up Wayne. We're endeavoring to get Wayne on. Yeah. And it looks like this week we'll be able to arrange it. Russ, you got your equipment there. Wayne's there. So that will happen. And
hopefully.
I'm not doing the Messier guarantee the Stanley Cup.
No.
Okay. But you get people coming at you, Russ. Okay. This drives me bananas. Just get them on, you guys.
Yeah.
Just get them on. Yeah. Now, just get me an autograph. Just how tough can it be?
Oh, the young guys want to do it. Gretz will do it. I'm sure if we ask Wayne, I'm sure he'll do
Wayne,
it.
Wayne will do it. Yeah, we'll get her done. We'll get her done. But he's never alone, right? That's the problem.
I want to do it at the tree bar. And if we can set this sucker up at the tree bar, God, it'll be hilarious.
Well, maybe we can. Maybe I'll tell you the technical side of it is. We could do it. Yeah, people got to hear me. So I don't know. I'm the most important one here to hear.
Chris, figure it out. Chris in Australia.
Yeah.
Our techie.
we'll give him something else to figure out.
Anyway,
Canada Day up here. So today on the show, we're going to talk about, I went to a wedding last night. I'll talk about that in a minute. We got Canada Day, maybe some great memories. What puts Canada on the map? What keeps us on the map sports wise? We're going to talk about some of that, your experiences, Russ, and always a bunch of other stuff comes up. There's some Hall of Fame inductions we want to talk about. And I've got some issues, Russ, with the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
That I think need to be changed or added.
Okay.
Would be more likely. Uh-huh. So I went to a wedding last night. I like the weddings, Russ. I like I like going to weddings. I'm one of the rare people who can't stand it. And I went last night. It was great. These are one of the things we're going to do today is we're going to give shout outs to some of our listeners. They've been listening loyally. I know you got your son and a bunch of buddies there. We're going to say hi to in a sec. And Stephen and Danny Wintermute. Stephen got married yesterday.
Nice. And,
this is how big a fan these guys are of the show.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding you, Russ. Okay. Yeah. 150 people at the wedding.
Yeah.
And he thanks you and I before he thanks his fucking parents.
No!
He
thanks. I love
before,
it.
Before the parents, before the the bride.
Oh.
He says, yeah, if he had his choice, he said he would make everyone sit there and listen to episodes of our podcast.
That is funny.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's my nephew. My ex-wife's side, and they're massive listeners. So congratulations to Stephen. He got married yesterday, and my favorite, Russ, I've been to lots of weddings like you have. And I always think of this, in your group of friends, you always have the first guy to get married really young.
Yeah.
You know, like in his late teens or, you know, there's always that guy. And we had a buddy of mine and he got married, still married today to that same girl. They're you know, been married that long. Got to be 30 years now or longer. Anyway, he was a really nervous guy, Rusty.
Yeah.
And he had to make a toast to the bridesmaids.
Yeah.
And, okay, Russ, they were a little beefy. Oh, okay? The bridesmaids were a little beefy. And the night before, we're out there, we're getting hammered with them and having a great time and laughing and crying and all this stuff. And he says to me, I need some help, Jimmy, with the speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's not bad. I don't know. If you want to make them happy, just feed them.
So we've just lost those four girls who are listening to our show.
And he said, knock it off. Knock it off. Anyway, he got up to do a speech, hated doing it, didn't want to do it. And he was so, so nervous, Russ. He says, it's my opportunity and my privilege right now. If you'd all raise your glass of champagne about the bridesmaids, I would like to say this. They sure may not be the prettiest, but they sure are the nicest.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the end of that. Yeah, that was the end of that.
So, turn up the music. Get them off the stage.
You know, my first date with my now ex-wife.
Yeah.
I'm still very close with. Our first date was Wayne's wedding.
Really?
1988. I think it was in July or August sometime. It was called the Royal Wedding, speaking of Canada Day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you probably played. You probably didn't know Wayne that well back then because you hadn't played together yet, right?
Jeff, my brother Jeff, won the Stanley Cup that year with Wayne. So he was at the wedding with his ex-wife, Penny.
Yeah. Now listen, pal. Okay, this wedding, Russ, you got to think about this. You get invited to this wedding and I'm going, I wonder who I'm going to ask. You know, you got to bring a guest. And it was a massive amount of people. So I want to bring someone, Russ, I know I can close with, okay, later on. Anyway,
because we all know on their show how successful you've been the last freaking 10 years. Ofer Edmonton.
I am Ofer, man. Yeah, everyone else gets put together except me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I asked her, and she didn't put out. Oh, she did not put out that night.
No.
And I ended up explaining to her that I had choices here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wasn't that forward, but I bailed, Russ. I bailed on my own wedding, my first engagement. I bailed.
Really?
I did.
At the altar?
Almost.
Oh.
Almost.
Really? Went on the way there?
10 feet from the altar.
Yeah, no. We weren't inside the church, but I bailed.
It was a quick story. I was working for Molson here. I was young, and I talked to her about, you know, I said, well, I asked her to get married. She was living back in Ottawa. I was out here, and I just knew I liked the whole idea of getting married, Russ, but I knew in the back of my mind, I don't think I want to get married.
Yeah.
Anyway. At my sister, I was at my sister's wedding a couple months later, and she gets up and announces our engagement, okay,
oh
at her own
God.
Wedding. And I'm going, oh, fuck. I just felt my balls drop down. I went, I don't want to do this. So I kept up the whole charade, Russ, whole charade for a while. And it got to invitations going out.
Oh,
and I hadn't given her addresses of a bunch of my friends in Edmonton. And she called me 2-3 days in a row. Yeah, I'll get them.
Yeah.
And
make sure you do it in pencil so we can erase a date.
Well, she said, if you don't do this, okay, this thing's off, right? And I said, don't worry.
Yeah.
I remember it clearly. Ben Johnson was running in the Olympics. I'd stopped to watch it with my buddy. And he said, what's wrong with you, man? I said, I don't want to get married.
Oh, boy.
He goes, what? You're engaged? I said, yeah, I don't want to do it. Anyway, pulled the pin. She phoned me the next day. Where's the addresses? I said, I'll phone you right back. She went, no. You don't want to get married, do you? I said, no.
Oh, right. Boy.
Yeah. Maybe a bit of mistake on my part, Russ. She is a multimillionaire and retired when she was 35.
Yeah.
So
my God.
Imagine the loss for her, though, Russ. Really.
You couldn't pick a fucking winner today with tomorrow's newspaper.
You know, now when I give Russ, you couldn't pick a winner today with tomorrow's newspaper. You know what I'm going to stop doing? Okay. Courts, you know what I'm going to stop
all
doing?
Right.
I give you heads up on the show, and I know what's happening here now. Okay. I send notes to you. Okay. I say, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame, Canada Day, your great memories. And I went to a wedding, Russ, and we're going to talk about that. I know you do. You go, like, you look up one-liners that'll crush Jerome. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm not sending you a heads up anymore.
Oh, my God. You hear about this guy who's 75 years old, and he got married when he's 20. Never had a fight, never had a problem. And so they were interviewing him and said, you know, what do you attribute the success of your marriage for? And,
yep.
and he says, well, we got married and went to Italy and we've never, never had a fight. Oh. And he goes, you know, separations make the heart grow stronger. And they go, really? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going back this year to get her.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful. I think you told me that one.
It's like the guy going into the confessional booth at church to tell the priest his sins, you know?
Yeah.
The Catholic, you know what that is, but it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes in there, he's like, the door a little opens in the confessional booth, you know, and the priest says, yes, my son, what are your sins? And a small church, you know, it's like the Irish priest is like, yeah, Father, this is O'Reilly here. He says, okay, O'Reilly, what's up? You know, and he's well into his 50s or 60s. He says, I'm sleeping with an 18-year-old girl. He said, oh, my God, who have you told? He goes, everyone. That's a pretty good thing there. You're the last guy on my list. Anyway, you've been to some crazy weddings, Russ? Have you ever been to some knockdowns?
Yeah, I'm going to my nephew's, I told you, July 10th to the 15th in Cabo. Won't be fucking cold there. We're going to be sweating our balls off.
Yeah.
So we're going to Cabo for that wedding. Crazy weddings. I don't know.
Did you have a big one? How was yours?
It was about 125 to 150 down in LA, and it was a really nice wedding. We got married at Bel Air Presbyterian, and
there you go.
It was funny because I think I talked about this on the show before. Janet came to our wedding. Janet Gretzky came to our wedding with Paulina, and Wayne went to Luc Robitaille's back in Quebec or somewhere. So
sure. Yeah.
But anyways, that was our wedding. I don't have any crazy stories. Although Wendell Clark did shoe check me when I was cutting my cake.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
The shoe check, by the way, tell them what that is, Russ. It's a hilarious gag. The shoe check. Yeah.
I think we might have touched on this before when Jeff got you a million times the first time we met, but it's at a pregame meal before we play on the road. We're in a banquet room and usually it's the new guy, the rookie or whatever. Someone will sneak under the table and put sour cream on his dress shoes and then sneak back, and everybody clangs their glasses and yells shoe check.
Right.
It's a little immature, but it gets a big laugh every time.
Well, just to bring the story back, we were all out for dinner at an event down south and at a beautiful restaurant. We're all sitting around and I'm, you know, holding court, telling a bunch of jokes, and I sit down, and I've never heard of this thing until someone screams, shoe check.
Yeah.
And I go, fuck's that mean? You know, and all these hockey players pull their seat back and they look at their shoes, you know, and I pull mine back and I look at my shoes and I got mustard all over my feet, you know, and I'm going, what the hell is that shoe check? And I look up and everyone's laughing. Right. And I go, oh, that's funny. And I make the immortal mistake of saying, you'll never get me twice on this. Ever. Have fun, boys. Okay. Laugh it up. You got me once, okay, but I'm too sharp to get done. 10 minutes later, I'm telling another joke, and I hear, shoe check, right? And my heart goes, I go, fuck, I forgot. And I look down, and it looks like I got shot in the waist, okay? Russ, your brother had put ketchup and butter and spit and everything on my, you know, never get caught again. Love the shoe check story. What's happening this week? You know, we're a weekly podcast, and people are starting to listen more and more. We really appreciate that. We've partnered with Global Story Network, who's a company who's gone into the podcast business, really, and they have a massive platform of podcasts. You can look them up, globalstorynetwork.com, and find out all the great stuff they're doing. We're no exception. We're right in the fold with all these guys, and I had a tweet today from a guy named Rob, who said, you make my long run the best ever. He's a runner and he listens to our podcast. So we'll show it to him. And you got some, where's your son now?
Oh my gosh. So my son's starting his senior year this year at Western Michigan playing hockey. And he's got a great group of teammates, and Andy Murray's his coach. He's coached the NHL. And so I sent him, you know, the suspendables, and he downloaded it or whatever, however you do that. And he's got their entire team is listening to our show. And he says, all the boys love it. So we're going to give a shout out to the Western Michigan hockey team. And okay. And there's one kid on his team. I'll tell a quick story. He's from
sure, absolutely.
Yep. Cam, his name's Cam Lee. His parents named him after Cam Neely. And Lawton and Cam went to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Final.
Lawton is your son?
Yep. Yeah, Lawton's my son. So they went to the game, and obviously Cam was crushed because the Bruins didn't win. But when I first got to know Cam, it was kind of parents' weekend, so we're out with his roommates and we're having the parents are there, and we're having a few cocktails after a game and something to eat. And you know, when the parents come in, they start ordering steaks and ribs and whatever they don't normally. Right. And I love it. I just love it because I remember that vividly from when I was a kid. But every time we ordered a drink, I look down and he's ordering two beers. And I'm like, wow. Where I said, where Lawton, where's Cam from? He goes, oh, Nova Scotia. And I go, wow, there you go. So from that point on, his nickname's been Two Beers. Oh. So Two Beers, keep listening to our show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great, great team. Small town. They're really tight. And they've got some excellent hockey players. You'll see some kids coming out of this program for years to come. They've done a great job, but they've got an excellent team and a good shot this year.
Oh, cool. And yeah. Of course, we're watching for your son.
Yeah, right? Lawton.
We don't know. He's got his name in the hat there.
Yeah.
Still, right?
So yeah, they all do. Hugh McGang.
Well, let's say hello to sounds like a Native American name. Let's say hello to Johnny Two Beers. Anyway, Hall of Fame inductions, Rusty. I've got the names here this year. Who got in? Your buddy is Guy Carboneau.
Yeah. My old line mate. 4 years I played with Carbo.
How many years, Russ?
Four years he was my centerman in Montreal.
Tell us about Guy.
Guy Carboneau was the best player in my era to play. We were the checking line, basically. And he was the best player in the entire league. He won the Selke a few times and Stanley Cups. And Carbo was so freaking talented. He blocked more shots than any forward I ever played with. And he shut down the best players in the league, not all the time. And it was just fantastic playing with him because when we did have the puck, we scored a lot of goals and we had a lot of points. So I loved playing with Carbo because you still got rewarded offensively because he wasn't that type of player that got the puck and fired it in and changed. Or, you know, when we had it, we tried to score. And we were Mike McPhee was our left winger. And anyways, it was a great line, a great player to play with. And I've been telling people for years that Guy Carboneau deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm so happy for him. His family's super happy and all his ex-teammates are happy. Carbo is a quiet leader who led by example on the ice and came to work every day and just loved the game. Like he absolutely loved all aspects of the game. He's a great guy. Just so proud of him.
He's in as a player and, Sergei Zubov is in as a player. Mm-hmm. Haley Wickenheiser, a female hockey player who's still to this day is Canada's best player, multi-time world champion. The women's Canadian hockey team won a bunch. We've talked about them now that they're having a hard time surviving, but that's for another day, that topic. Vaclav, this guy, Nedomensky, was one of the first players from Europe to play in the NHL. I don't know the whole details of that, but he's in.
No.
And a couple other guys are in the builder category.
I'm in there.
Russ, what are you in for?
They took the old locker room out of Montreal.
Yeah.
So my stall's in there with my name
on it. That's funny. anyway, the Hockey Hall of Fame, it's, I want to ask you your opinion on this, Russ, because there's always a debate, even as biased as you might be, Guy Carboneau, nobody said he shouldn't be in. Nobody said he shouldn't be in. There's been guys over the years and that have gotten into the Hall of Fame that a lot of people have said, are you kidding me? That guy's in the Hall of Fame. you know, I guess you never want to deny a guy, but there's been sort of, you know, what?
Yeah.
And there's a bunch, but more importantly, there's people who are not in the Hall of Fame who maybe should be. And it's tough to get in. I don't know, you know, it's a voting process through, you would know better than I am how the selection works for it. It's a bunch of writers, isn't it, Russ?
And the reason I was just about to jump in and say, well, fuck, I don't know how it works because I don't really pay attention to it because I'm never going to get in. But I believe there is a committee and it's made up. I think Sir Savard heads it up.
Right.
And some retired players and some media. But I think it's been taken over from the media. We'll have to check on that.
Okay. But, I should have known that. Know. But that aside, Russ, that aside, if you were to pick the qualifications for a guy to get into the Hall of Fame, you know, minimum qualifications or however you see it, I'll ask you this question. What qualifies a guy to get in the Hall of Fame?
That's the debate. Is there's some great players that their careers ended short or they didn't play as many years as they should have and their numbers aren't what some of the players who are in feel there's definitely a bar that you have to hit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like 400 goals, 600 assists, minimum 1,000 points, something like that, you know. And there I think Neil Broughton is a great example of a guy that should be in. And they're like, oh well, he didn't get as many points. I go, well, the first part of his career, he was 100 point plus centerman, 90 to 100 something. And one of the best players in the league. And then he, Bob Gainey, said, I want you to play like, Guy Carboneau. I want you to be a defensive player. And he did. And he did it as not as good maybe, but pretty damn close to how good Guy was at playing, in the checking role. Mm-hmm. And I played with him, so I know firsthand. Like, Neil was freaking awesome. Neil and Carbo were two best centermen I ever played with. And there's an example of a guy that gave up for the better of the team, his offense, and then he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame because he doesn't continue to score. Another guy is Alexander McGillney. Are you kidding me? The guy scored 76 goals one year, and he's not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, so those are my opinions. And then there's other guys with the opinion of 400, 600, 1,000, da, da, da. And some of those guys didn't hit those marks.
Yeah.
But are still great.
Yeah. Here's what I think about the awards is, you know, is this a place for the elite player? You know, is it just for the elite player? And the Hall of Fame people now would say, well, no. You know, is it just for a guy who racks up the stats? You know, there's your obvious guys, you know, your Lemieux and your Waynes and Sidney Crosby and these guys over the years, you know, who've played at a super high level and, you know, have won awards. But my thought, Russ, is there's a ton of guys, right, who let's say a guy plays 15 years in the NHL, you know, and this guy has, by today's standards for the Hall of Fame, he's got no shot at getting in, you know, and yet I see the NHL awards now. Which just finished, okay, that they had those. And, you know, there's been the mainstays that have been there. You know, the guys who win the MVP, the guys who win the Norris Trophy, the Vezina. There, you know, a bunch of other stuff, right? That is, that highlights the winners, you know, who filled a category, right? Who had the most points and the Rocket Richard and all this stuff. But there's a bunch more awards now, Russ, that are sort of discretionary, where Mark Messier has an award now. I think that he picks the final player when they get, you know, the Masterton Trophy. Russ, is that, you know, is it something voted on by the players? Best guy on the ice, off the ice. There's all sorts of that stuff away from racking up stats, you know, and they're doing more and more of it. If you looked at the list of NHL awards, there's like 15 to 20 awards that they hand out. And I always think of the kids, Russ. I always think of kids who, you know, whose parents devote their life to them, and good, bad, or otherwise, whether it's to a fault or not, whatever. You got these kids who play hockey, you know, get into the NHL, which is very, The chance of you getting in is, as we know, is 1 or 2% or something, you know, to play in the NHL. All you got to do is look at draft picks, how many kids get drafted who don't end up playing, you know, in the NHL. And I think, Russ, I wonder if they should have a category in the Hall of Fame when a kid walks in there and looks around. I'll never be Wayne Gretzky. I won't be Russ Cortinel. I won't be all these other guys. I won't be that locker room of Russ Cortinel's. Okay. whether they should have something, Russ, that shows guys who just worked really hard and had a, you know, maybe there's a minimum years or something like that, that they have this category that says, you know, the dream lived on for these guys and they worked really hard. And if you can get in here too, if you play a long time, you know, or something like that, you know, am I too soft, Russ? Is it just a place for the elite? And I got to toughen up and go,
You know what Hall of Fame those guys are in that you just described?
Okay.
Their local fucking bar where they gave them a jersey and they got it hung up in there. And I fall into that category. The Hall of Fame is exactly that. Famous players and not the grinders that, yes, they do help the game, but the Hall of Fame is a special place. It's Academy Awards. They don't pick like 10 B actors to, you know, go into the into that category. But I think that one thing I think they should change is I think they should have the best offensive defenseman and then the best defensive defenseman. I think they should divide the Norris Trophy into two. You've got some guys that are just unbelievably talented defensively and don't have a shot at winning the Norris because they don't put up the points. Mm-hmm. So I think that trophy should be divided. It's split. Just like the Selke. You've got the Selke, and that's for the best defensive forward. So you should have one for the D-man.
Plus minus or something like that, right? That may even be an award.
I don't know. I think they might have something for that. Two guys that know I played and you followed, and we don't know fuck all about hockey.
Yeah, we should. But we should have one. If you and I ran the Hall of Fame, we're so sarcastic, we'd have a whole section that goes guys who think they should be in but have no shot. The just missed. We'd have the just missed category. Oh, fuck, he had 398 goals. He just misses by two. You know, give him a wave on your way by to the Gretzky exhibition. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess I'm getting to be a softy. I think they should have sort of a hardworking category. But Russ, we got Canada Day, July 1st. Of course, happens in Canada every year, and I always like to talk about sports and Canada, and one of the interesting topics all the time. And by the way, if you want to get a hold of Russ and I, you can do it by, what's your handle on Instagram, Russ?
What do you got? Russ Cortinel.
Russ, mine's Jungle Jerome.
Yeah.
At Jungle Jerome.
Yeah, just Google my name and you'll find it.
Yeah. You can drop me an email, junglejerome@yahoo.com, if you want. Got comments on the show. What do you think?
I've added a few followers since the show started.
I hope so.
I'm up over 2,000. Trending. Trending higher.
Well, you got to get on Twitter. They told you at the office, the head office said, get on Twitter.
You must get
on there.
Tweet for me.
I'm on Twitter at Jungle Jerome. Just find us, okay? Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Russ, what do you think are some of the greatest moments that put Canada on the map sports-wise, that keeps them on the map when you think of great Canadian victories in the world? What comes to mind for you?
Well, the
point.
Yeah, Canada-Russia series was freaking awesome. For me, like, it just as a little kid, we got to listen to it over the PA system at school, put our heads down and just, you know, watch or listen to the game. They might have even brought a TV into the room, but I don't think so. But it was and then I think we were able to go home and watch when it got to the finals. But I remember that, just, you know, it was so freaking awesome. And then, you know, the Olympics in Vancouver were great. the 87 Canada Cup against Russia with Mary Lemieux and Gretz and all the boys and Hamilton winning.
The great then, pass, right? The great, yeah, Mary will drop the puck off to Wayne.
And then I was funny this morning. I was talking with Wayne and family, Mike Shanahan Jr., who used to own the St. Louis Blues, his dad and him. And now he's, they sold the team, obviously. And so Wayne was sitting there talking and he said the best team that he ever played on was the 91 Canada Cup team. And it was funny he said that because it was kind of after 87 when they played Russia, we played the U.S. in the finals and it just wasn't a big deal at the time. It took a few more years to get that Canada-U.S. Rivalry going because the rivalry up until that time was just Russia and Canada and the U.S. really wasn't in it. And then now, of course, it is U.S.-Canada every year.
A couple things that you bring up. The 72 Russia series was the first time, you know, Canadians played against Russia. It was the first time we got to see Russians. A little backstory, of course, is everyone thought Canada, this is an exhibition tournament. Was it the Summit Series? Is that the right term? Was it called the Summit Series? I don't know. That might be a different one.
Yeah. No. What was?
Yeah.
How was it called?
It was Allan Eagleson put this idea together, this tournament, and people thought this is a joke that Canada is just going to drill everyone. You know, and of course, what happened was these Russians came in. They had a style of play that everyone was upside down about. You know that they couldn't do it. The players were unbelievable. They had the same speed, and of course, that changed the whole world of hockey. And then in the end, you know, I forget what the format was supposed to be. I think it was like, don't worry about the format. Let's just play six or seven games back and forth. We'll go to Russia. You guys come over here, and of course, the Russians were on the verge of winning. And then Paul Henderson scored this magnificent goal down to the last minute. And, I remember it, Russ, where were you when, you know, where were you when Elvis died? And I was in a classroom, just like you spoke about. I was in grade 7 in 1972 and they wheeled in a TV, Russ, that weighs about 1,000 pounds, this box, but it's on like metal legs that go about 4 feet in the air. They're lethal. Okay. They're just, but that's where I was. There's a guy I used to work with in radio who's still around. His name's Liam McGuire. He's a phenom when it comes to stats and memories in the NHL. And he is freaking out every year that Paul Henderson is not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Yeah, he's got a huge... Should he be, Russ, before we leave this topic? Should Paul Henderson, because of that goal?
Probably, maybe, because it's tough. He couldn't go in as an international player, but that international moment was... incredible. Didn't they auction off his jersey a few years ago and it went for like $1.2 million or something like that?
At least. Yeah. At least I would think. You know. My thing is, if there's a bunch of people debating it, if you and I are there, I'm going, fuck, put him in then. Just put him in.
Well, the fact that people are bringing up, you know, McGillney, Neil Broughton, every year they talk about Jeremy Roenick, you know, scored over 500 goals and so the fact they're in the conversation, you got to believe that one day they're going to get in. Because you never hear, oh, well, here we're picking these four and these 10 guys almost got in.
Right.
Right. Oops, second place again.
You brought up.
How many cigarettes? Did you just light three?
No, it's the same one. It's the same one. I'm going good. Okay. Yeah, I'm going good.
You could probably get a Bic commercial.
I was talking to
Jesus Christ.
I could. Yeah. I'm not a quitter, Russ. You know the line.
No, you're in the Hall of Fame. And if you're not, you're going to be for smoking.
Listen, I was the editor of our yearbook one year at school. Yeah. And, you take pictures of all the teams, right? There's the football team, the men's football, the girls' basketball, men, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And without them knowing, I slid it in there. I said, here's the smoking team. We had all these guys out in the back and put it on.
When I went to Oak Bay High a couple of years, I went there for 8th and 10th grade and our rugby coach and phys ed teacher, Jono was his name. He couldn't stand all the smokers and they couldn't smoke on school property. So they smoke right at the gate to walk onto the the property, and there was freaking cigarette butts there, like you wouldn't fucking believe. And so he had us, he gave us a can of spray paint, and we went out there and we, in big letters, spray painted Goofgate.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So all the smokers were standing at Goofgate.
Mike Weir, Rusty, winning the Masters. Mike Weir winning the Masters in 2003. He's a Canadian.
Yeah.
That goes right up there, man. And I'm a hockey fan.
How about that, when he was leading, when he was tied with Vijay at the Toronto tournament?
Oh, the Canadian Open.
They had the playoff, and poor Vijay looked like he wanted to just fold it up and let him win in his hometown and or country. Yep. And he could not put his, he just couldn't play. He wanted it. It looked like he wanted it so bad. He just couldn't close out. And Vijay looked like he really wanted Mike to win.
Yeah, Mike just couldn't call. You're right.
No, he could. He just couldn't. He wanted it so bad, and the fans were cheering him on. Like,
yeah, was that
kind of like what we just went through with the Raptors? I mean, look at the whole country was pulling for the Raptors.
Yeah, if I'm Mike Weir, okay, and I'm
getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
No, he can't get into the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's for sure. If I'm Mike Weir during that thing and I miss to close it out, I miss a couple 3-footers or 4-footers. I forget exactly how it came down, but I remember watching it. I'm going to slide over to Vijay and go, listen, Vijay. Okay. Okay. Look at pal. Fuck, you've won the Masters. Okay. You're a big player. You're top 10 in the world. You got to give me this one. Okay. We'll split the dough. We'll split the dough. Okay. Or I'll give you all the dough. Anyway, that was a big one. Olympic moments too for me on Canada Day. I think of Sid Crosby, right? They win the gold medal and all that stuff. I love those moments. In hockey you brought up Rusty.
Yeah,
you brought up Muhammad Ali.
Yes,
one of the great of course nicknames. Right, we were talking about nicknames the other day. Of course, the great one's probably the most recognizable in the world. Mario's never quite worked for me. I think they were trying to make it sound like he was the magnificent one or something like that. Didn't use him. They tried to make it sound like the great one. They should have done something different. And, of course, Muhammad Ali, right? The greatest.
Absolutely.
My brother-in-law, the father of the kid who got married yesterday, he was unfortunately killed tragically in a plane crash, my wife's brother. But
yeah, I remember that.
He was a massive sports fan, and his father, Muhammad Ali, was in Edmonton, was coming to Edmonton for something.
Really?
And his father took him there and got an autographed picture of Muhammad Ali.
Right? No.
Now, if you're a collector, I don't know if you are, Russ, and if you know what are great collectible things. I'm not a collector, and I could have been, I guess. I would have had some great things, but it would have ruined my friendship with you guys if I was one of these nagging collectors all the time. He had this picture of Muhammad Ali when he was a kid.
No.
And, and he brought it to school for show and tell.
Yeah.
And he, everyone had their show and tell. Remember show and tell? You brought this, I brought empty bottles of scotch from my mother. I said, look at this. She knocked off another one. isn't that something, folks? Look at there. Yeah, another big bottle, another 40 of J&B. And he brought this picture. And of course, it was a home run. There's always someone with the great, and he brought this thing, and his buddy was just pissed, absolutely pissed at him because he brought a freaking house that he built with Lego or something.
Oh, my God. And
so Dane was his name, and he sat down with his picture with a big grin, and dude reaches over and rips the thing in four.
No! No! Yeah.
Oh, this my thing God. Would be worth, this thing would be worth thousands. Yeah, he just ripped them all up,
Oh! And, oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know if you probably have some stuff, some collectible stuff. I had a pair of gloves. Okay. I was at game 7, Oilers in Edmonton. Oilers beat Philly, at home. And, my seats were right row 4. I'm sitting with Glenny Gretzky and I were at the game and they win and we're going crazy. And these were my season's tickets I had for years. And, Mess comes over to the glass, right? And he's like, come on over the glass, right? I'm like, no, I'm not fucking, it's like scaling Alcatraz here to try and get up over the glass, right? I'm not going to do it. So he threw me his gloves and everyone knew they were for me. And I had these gloves, game worn, Stanley Cup final, game worn gloves. So I brought him home to Ottawa and I gave him to my brother. I said, look at these. He was like, oh man, thanks a million, you know? And I was back visiting about a year later and I said, looking around, expecting these to be on the wall somewhere. I said, where's those gloves, man? You know, Mark Messier, Stanley Cup. He goes, oh, they're shitty, man. I wore them and I ripped all the palms, you know, in my beer league.
I threw them away.
Idiot. Yeah. Idiot, man.
Is that is that the same brother that punched your lights out last year?
It is the identical brother that punched my lights out. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish he would have the gloves on when he did it. <You know? laughs> Would have hurt a little less. Anyway, I don't know. What's Rusty, if you can think of the best, what do you think of the best nicknames in sports or a collectible item here? Have you heard? You must have heard some wild stories.
The great one, the best nickname. How about, here's the funny nickname, and I think I already talked about this part, but Marty McSorley played with a guy in L.A. I think you know this story. And I'm not going to say this player's name because I don't want to embarrass him, but Marty says, holy fuck, your nickname is two people because one person couldn't be that fucking stupid. So for the rest of his career, he's known as two people. Two people.
Oh, that is the best. Oh, that is Marty so fast. Eddie Meehl screaming at him. And when I played against you, you never scored on me. Marty says I never shot at the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Two people. I love that. Yeah, I love that. We had a great nickname for my grandmother. We gotta go shortly. Migraine.
What's a migraine? Nickname?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. We adapted with my own mother. Yeah, migraine.
Oh my god.
What's up, Rusty, for the rest of the week? What are you doing?
More of the same. More of the same. Working up here at Gosser. I'm working and playing. Tonight I'm cooking for a bunch. I said that at the beginning of the show, I'm cooking for a bunch of people tonight, a bunch of Canadians down here in the United States celebrating Canada Day.
Yeah.
My family shows up on the 6th, my youngest and my wife.
Ooh,
so that'll
tilt.
Yeah.
Tilt.
Yeah.
There goes.
I'm looking
the honeymoon's
forward to
over,
folks.
The honeymoon's over.
Looking forward to seeing them. And then just trying to sell as many properties as I can up here at Gosser. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
You brought up all these old names. I just got a guy just dropped me a tweet yesterday because he listened to a show and he hears this Gosser Ranch story where you are, which is, you know, one of the most beautiful properties around the world right now, where a bunch of retired hockey players are. And every time you bring up these old names, he said they should change it to Geezer Ranch. Russ.
Geezer.
Russ Courtney, Geezer Ranch. So,
yeah.
Anyway, another one in the books for us, the Suspendables, more to come later on. Next, we'll be back again next week.
Yeah.
And thank you all for tuning in. And I'm gonna run into you somewhere, Russ, this summer.
Yeah.
We'll do
go
one live.
Broncos.
Go. Why go Broncos? Who's that?
Western Michigan.
Oh, your kids' team. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like the Denver Broncos.
Their whole team's listening to the show.
All right, fellas, go Broncos. Let's do it. Keep listening. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Have a good week.